are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank, and I'm joined by Stephen Halmerich, our chief economist and head of research, today to talk about the July economic and fiscal update. Stephen, how are you? Excellent. So I guess no big surprises from the mini budget, although the Treasury was very firm to point out it wasn't a budget. Except from just the sheer size of the numbers that we are dealing with. It's certainly an extraordinary deficit for extraordinary times. How did the numbers end up shaping up?
Well, you're right. It's not a mini budget. It was really a technical document, just updating the government's economic and fiscal forecast. So no policy announcements. We suspect they'll come in the full budget, which is in early October. But as you say, yeah, quite extraordinary deficits, but for very much extraordinary times. So for last year, the year ended 30th of June 2020, the budget deficit is just short of $86 billion, and that's about 4.3% of GDP. But for the current year, the year ended June 2021, it's just on $184.5 billion. So that's 9.7% of GDP. So that's the largest budget deficit since the end of World War II. So these are really large deficits. And remembering, we were actually meant to be in surplus right now. But these deficits have come because the government is trying to offset the significant economic impact of dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. And so, you know, we think that these deficits, if you like, a money well spent, because if the government wasn't supporting the economy in this extraordinary way, then the economic outcome would be significantly worse.
And I guess that's the crucial thing here, is the context of the economic situation that we're in is critical to understand how the budget has deteriorated so much. It seems a long time ago since the mid-year economic and fiscal update back in December, where effectively a balanced budget was forecast. But since then, obviously, the coronavirus pandemic, and not to mention those devastating bushfires back in December, has seen two major budget events occur. Spending has gone up, as you say, to support the economy, but also government revenue has gone down as well. It's those two forces together that have seen the budget deteriorate like it has.
Yeah, absolutely. So for this year, the 2021 year, the revenue is $61 billion less than the government thought it was going to be just back in December last year. But spending is up almost $130 billion. And that's, as we say, a direct result of the support mechanisms, things like the Job Seeker, the Job Keeper, to support the economy through this lockdown to slow the spread of the virus.
Now, obviously, the economic context is crucial. So we've also run a very fine eye over the economic projections that have been contained in this document as well. How do they compare to our own forecasts here at CommBank?
Well, on the whole, they're pretty similar. So for the year 2020-21, the government is projecting the economy to go backwards by 2.5%. And our forecast is minus 2.6%. So essentially the same. There's a little bit of a difference in terms of the labour market. The government actually has the unemployment rate rising to a higher peak than we do, and to remain higher through 2020-21. We have the unemployment rate peaking around 8.5% in coming months, remembering it was 7.4% in June and close to 5% pre-COVID. But there's some technical factors there. People on JobKeeper are still counted as employed. To be unemployed, you have to be not only not having a job, but actively looking for another job. So there's lots of underlying factors that actually suggest to us or tell us that the labour market is a lot weaker than that headline unemployment rate would imply.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion about hidden unemployment, definitely with those technical definitions that you speak about. There also are some slight differences when we kind of look at the deeper details in terms of the economic forecast. The government is a little bit more pessimistic on business investment and dwelling investment than we are. Fortunately, they're a little bit less pessimistic on household spending than we are. All eyes, though, are on those debt figures. So not only did we see the deficit figures announced today, but just the amount of debt that the government's going to be borrowing. What did those numbers look like?
Well, they show that total or gross debt of the government will be around $684 billion as of June 2020. That jumped to just under $852 billion June 2021. So that's a significant increase. The question then is, people have to ask themselves, you know, what is the government doing with that higher debt? So some people get concerned about that rise in debt, but I think there's a couple of really key issues. So one is, what's the counterfactual? If the government had not gone into a big budget deficit, you know, increased spending as dramatically as they had and raised all that extra money through debt, then the economic outcome would have been considerably worse than what we're facing now. And then the economy would have been in deep recession and the budget deficit would have increased dramatically anyway. So much better to have the budget deficit increase, if you like, in a controlled and a deliberate way rather than just a cyclical impact that smashes the budget deficit.
As you say, it's just very important to focus on the economic return of that debt and not just the debt itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other key point, is the interest rate that the market is charging the government for that debt is very low. So the government can borrow 10-year money for less than 1%. And the Reserve Bank governor, as recently as this week, has committed to ensuring that both the cash rate, which is just 0.25%, and government bond yields stay very low for a long time, we think until at least the middle of 2022. So the interest cost of that higher debt is very low. And in our view, the economic return on that debt will far exceed the cost of the interest. And again, this is really important in terms of thinking about the counterfactual, you know, how badly would the economy do? How much worse would things be if the government hadn't gone into deficit, raised that extra debt to support economic activity?
One question that frequently comes up when we talk about the size of both government deficits and government debt is that coveted AAA credit rating that Australia has. Has there been any feedback from the ratings agencies since the release today?
Yes. Interestingly, both two of the major credit rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's, have come out pretty quickly after the statement today and said that Australia's AAA credit rating can absorb that growing level of debt. So I think that's a that's definitely a positive sign that as we mentioned, that higher level of debt, then the net interest cost of that higher debt will be exceeded by the economic benefit of raising that debt.
Now, there was no new policy announcements in the release today. As you said, it's much more of a technical document, albeit one that was in excess of 180 pages long. So all eyes are now turning to the 2020-21 budget that will be delivered on the 6th of October. Do you have any early indications of some policy announcements that we may see in that? I know the big one on everyone's mind is those income tax cuts.
Yeah, so the Treasurer hinted a week or so ago that bringing forward those income tax cuts, which are due to start on the 1st of July 2022, so bringing forward those income tax cuts may be on the agenda. And those tax cuts are worth about $15 billion in the year. So that's another way of saying that would put $15 billion back into the pockets of the Australian workers, and then a lot of that would be spent. So there is, our view is that bringing forward those tax cuts would be a good thing to do. So we're hopeful on that. And I think the other area is, that we could easily get some more changes to the JobSeeker, JobKeeper programs, depending on how the economy and the labour market performs in coming months. And we know that industrial relations is a big focus. So the Prime Minister has tasked the Industrial Relations Minister, the Attorney General, with reporting back in September after discussions with the ABPU and business groups on potential changes to the industrial relations legislation. So all those things would be welcomed, and we hope to see those in the budget in early October.
We are all looking forward to that. I appreciate your insights again today, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Belinda. My pleasure.
Now, you can find our report on the July Economic and Fiscal Update released on the 23rd of July on combankresearch.com.au.